This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Your teen requested a ride, but this time not from you. It's through their Uber teen account. You drive your teenager around. A lot. To their friend Jacob's house, their other friend Jake's house, to James's, to Jaden's, to Jalen's, to...
Mom? This is Jake's house, not Jacob's.
Now with an Uber teen account, your teen can request a ride under your supervision. They'll ride with a highly rated driver, and with live trip tracking, you'll follow along the whole ride to their friends' houses that all sound the same. Add your teen to your Uber account today. See app for details.
Bye, Mom.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. Bowl edition. What, week two bowls, I guess? Is that what it's called, Josh? Is
that something like that, yeah.
December 23rd and December 26th games. So we're going to go through four games. We have a triple header Saturday, which... Well, go to MWR.com to find some stuff we're doing on the bowl games before I start to complain about the bowl setup here. We have previews. I got a Q&A with a couple guys. We'll have some other stuff up for Saturday to get first looks that are still relevant. Why are we doing games at the same time? James Madison Air Force, Georgia State, Utah State, kickoff at 1:30 Mountain Time.
Because because ESPN has nothing better to do.
Explain yourself, ABC.
Well, they have three games. There's 7 games on that day.
On ABC and ESPN?
Yeah.
Because I know, okay. We don't need the whole bowl schedule. But it's like a regular college football day just about, almost, kind of. Well, I guess not. There's not 60 games, but there's what, almost 10, 7?
There wasn't a game this past Wednesday. There's no game. Like, the Hawaii Bowl would usually be Christmas Eve, but that's on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So that's also Saturday. The game last night, oh my gosh. So I didn't even know this game was happening. South Florida, Syracuse, 45-0.
That's because Syracuse lost everyone.
Lost everyone. Lost their coach. Lost, Wait, you couldn't get Colin McCord to start this game? You couldn't come in and join them to hop in on Thursday night to go to Boca?
Syracuse put a tight end in as quarterback.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even know the game was going on until I saw it was 35-0 or whatever, something like that. 38-0.
USF had two scoop and scores for touchdowns.
See, bowl games are weird, people. Weird stuff happens. Which is why, let's get right into it. James Madison Air Force. 1:30 Mountain Time, ABC/ESPN+. All these games are on ESPN Plus. If you have that, great. If you don't, get it. It's pretty cool. I get the Disney bundle. It works wonders for everything I do for Hulu and ESPN Plus.
Yep.
So, James Madison is a 2-point favorite. This game's in Fort Worth, Texas, where how many times – I should look this up. Air Force plays in Texas like every year for bowl games, right? Seems like it. Because last year, was it the Baylor game, like the coldest bowl game on record? The Lockheed Martin Bowl?
Or the First Responders Bowl or something like that, yeah.
I'm looking up right now, but they got a Texas slot. Yeah, they've been – they're – okay, this is – I didn't even realize this when we talked about before. They're going back-to-back Armed Forces Bowl from last year because that's who they play.
It's usually where they end up outside of that one Cheez-It Bowl.
They've gone. Yeah, it's crazy. Going back to 2015, this would be their third – or excuse me. Going back to 2012, their fourth Armed Forces Bowl. and then a first responders bowl. They like to hang out in Texas a lot for the bowl games. I guess that makes sense. Is that why maybe they put that Army Air Force game at the stupid Rangers Stadium for a couple times?
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't know. But what do we make it? The biggest thing about this game is Zach Lear is back. Do we trust Troy Calhoun saying he's back, ready to play? He's bolded on the depth chart, I've been told.
Wait, hold on. So
what do we got here?
Zach Lear is out. He plays. Zach Lear is back. He doesn't play.
He gets hurt with the Van Knee brace on. I don't know. Or he plays perfectly fine where he stays out for a while. Like, this is another conversation for another day, but it's like, Troy Calhoun, there's one thing saying, oh, we're not sure if he'll play. But if you say he's out for weeks or out for a while, we assume it's multiple games. He comes out and beats Navy.
Yeah.
What could be, anything could be done about that? Anything you care about being done like that? They have to be forced to get this done?
I mean, well, we'll have to see if the NCAA survives, but maybe they'll put in an injury reporting rule.
That'd be nice, right?
Yeah.
And it's, yes, people who put money in games, true. But also, I'd like to explain, if I'm a fan of my team, I would like to know if my guy can play. It's not like, well, no, it is like University of Utah, Cam Risey, knew he was never going to play half the year. Maybe midseason at best. He suits up at game two at UCLA, but changes at halftime. Like, what are you doing? He had no chance of playing like week three, whatever it was. But yeah, it's just like flat out line. It's one thing, oh, we're not sure. He has a bruised rib, broken rib. You can play with a broken rib if you want to. Or even like a hairline fracture, people can play with that. But just annoying. I mean,
didn't Marvin Harrison play with, or some receiver played with a punctured lung he got a punctured lung and then went off for like 150 yards the next week or something like that?
Wouldn't surprise me. But that's, yeah, it's weird. It's annoying. But if he plays, like this is, I know James Madison's pumped. They got to the bowl game where they shouldn't have had to do this stupid appeal or get in because there weren't enough teams. They are a team where they lost their head coach. Signetti's not there. He's going to Indiana. They are, let's see, what's the record? See, I had it in front of me. They're 1.5-point favorite. What are they, 11-2? Sorry, they couldn't be 11-2 because they couldn't go to the championship game. They're 11-1. So they are obviously a high-quality team. Sun Belt, what do you think, better than Mountain West? Comparable this year?
This year, probably better.
A little bit better overall?
Yeah.
They lost to App.
Because they had two teams, you know, Troy and James Madison both finished with 11 wins.
Don't they have nine bowl teams?
Yeah, it's like they only had two teams finish with below 6 wins. Mm. So
yes. So they're good?
I mean, there are two chances, or there's one chance for Mountain West to have a team finish with double digits, and it's UNLV at Kansas.
Oh, boy.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Ooh, well, we'll get to that game later. So Jordan McLeod's a big guy. 3,400 yards, 32 TDs. Amazing. This is going to be a passing team, which is, well, Air Force does have the Jim Thorpe Award winner, so they'll just shut that down instantly, right? So we can say he's going to pass for like 82 yards, and that's it.
I put the
50 yards? What's going on here? But they have, like, this will test their secondary by far. With Elijah Serrett and Reggie Brown, over 1,000 yards easy. Like, this is, nobody in the Mountain West passes as well as this team who they faced all year. They didn't play Fresno, correct? Yeah, because there was going to be that collision course until both teams fell apart. There's not a team they faced that's even close to what this type of production they're going to be going up against this weekend.
I mean, was it Utah State if you combine all the quarterbacks?
In one game? Or you mean like the whole season?
In the whole season.
Yeah, he's been, like, their offensive line's pretty good, only 19 sacks allowed. I just wondering, with Coastal, they don't face this type of offense, but they also have a month to prepare. So that kind of negates the run option attack with what Air Force runs out there. And so that could be, it's good that they have that offense, obviously, because if it's a one-off thing. But, like, guys who are out, we should mention, like, John Lee Eldridge, out. He's not playing. I know he wasn't great this year compared to what we thought, so he's not playing this game. He's portaling. We're lucky Lear's playing because Jonah Jensen's not transferring, or at least not playing. Jerry Stewart's not playing. Who would have played quarterback if he wasn't there? Because wasn't Jensen the backup for a while?
Yeah.
So, like, what would they do? Just go Wildcat? Like, put a receiver back there possibly? Put a DB?
Let me look.
Their depth chart? What do they got for QB2? I have that period too in a second. I just thought about that now. I'm like, what's going on?
Well, would have been Ben Britton, wouldn't it?
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, okay. I just thinking that there's two quarterbacks in the portal there, or at least not playing, opting out.
So according to ESPN, you got Zach Lair, Ben Britton, John Boucher, Jensen Jones, and Cannon Turner as the quarterbacks.
All right. They'd have been okay. They'd have a capable quarterback, I guess.
They would have had somebody back there.
But man, like, Air Force, the way they ended the season, because we're all thinking when they were rolling through everybody, and then Lear, like, it's pretty obvious. Like, they lost their last four games. Like, is this going to be a Fresno situation? Where Fresno looked garbage, they go out and just knock the socks off in New Mexico State.
I mean, with the amount of players that James Madison is losing, especially, and their coach leaving, probably.
So what players do they not have in this game? Like, who's out for them?
Let's see. We have the leading running back.
Oh, that's right.
Kalon Black.
Yeah.
Aiden Fisher, linebacker. First team all Sunbelt tight end, Zach Horton. First team all Sunbelt linebacker, Taurus Jones. Mm. Second team all Sunbelt D-line, Mikhail Kamara.
You know what this tells me? They're going to run like crazy on this team. Right?
Yeah. I mean, there's multiple linebackers that are out, multiple DBs that are out, a couple D-line that are out.
So. Offensive lineman had 30 career starts.
Yeah.
Like he's a versatile guy. Like Tyler Stevens played, what, left guard, right tackle, played everywhere on offensive line where they needed him to play. We're losing Lawton. Who else? That's another running back. Who was the other one we mentioned here? It was Kalon Black. So they lose. Is that their top two running backs, looks like? Yes. So they're going to probably run with, like, Jordan McLeod is the leading rusher in this game, their quarterback. What do we expect here, Josh? They're just going to check it all game?
Mm-hmm.
Can Air Force stop?
I mean,
they have to, right?
They may run, you know, like a third string running back or something.
Latrell, you're scared of Latrell Palmer with 112 yards on the year?
Hey, you never know.
Sammy Malaganagi? Is that how I say it? Question mark? It's true. Bowl games. You never know, man. Who's this random bowl hero that comes out of nowhere and doesn't play? Wasn't there a Utah State receiver a couple years ago? Or maybe it was Nevada, a young guy. I think it's Nevada. I don't remember the bowl game. It was a couple years ago. He ended up having, like, a huge game. And so there's so much unknown, but losing defenders when you're playing against an option team is far more likely of having issues than, you're a third-year running back who's just young and can't play because our top two guys are really, really good.
I mean, we'll probably start seeing that now. Like, I know we there are a couple of people who number not – the trend started a number of years ago where players started sitting out, you know, protect their draft stack. But now you're starting to see it with NIL. More and more people are doing it. So it's just there's going to be more of those situations. And, you know, it's time to step up. And that could happen here. It could not.
Do you care about these games that much? Because if you're like, let's say your Rams are playing. If, say, Torrey Horton's going to protect for the draft, you have your QB leaving, you have the All-American, you have all these guys, I'm going to chill and not play. Like, who – is there excitement for these games? I know James Madison there will be, despite them losing like half their defensive good players. But I'm interested. It happens. I think this will be a pretty good game because it'll be two good quarterbacks. But if your team, like, if your James Madison, they have all these guys losing and leaving, what's your incentive to, like, besides, I'm going to see the next guy comes up? Or is it just to watch a football game and hope your team does well?
It depends on the situation. Like, if it's CSU, it's be like, yeah, I'll be excited. It's our first bowl game in 6 years.
There's that. Same with Madison's first bowl game ever.
Yeah, but if it's just like, hey, it's something consistent and them are losing all this talent, it'd be like, I mean, I'll watch it because it's my team, but I'll be like, it's just something to throw on in the background.
Yeah, like if you're, like, say, let's just say James Madison, like, they're 11-1, man. First, second year in FBS, I think they won double-digit games last year. They're really good last year as well. If all these guys who move up to FBS, they're going to get one more crack somewhere. Like, I'm really good here. I'm going to go to whatever school going to be. Their coach went to Indiana to take over, so that's another thing to consider. I don't know, man. It's hard. Like, if you're this team, it's like you're excited, but it's like we're missing guys who are, like, James Carpenter, freshman All-American and FCS level, two-time All-Sun Belt guy in 2 years. It's It's kind of, I get it. That's what people are doing. I don't disparage or, it's two lines of thought about the whole portal thing. Like, oh man, he's leaving. But it's like, he's going to get better opportunity. So it's like, you don't want to hold a guy back, but you wish he played too. It's like, it's one more game. Come on. One more game. But, so how do, what, yeah. What, yeah
but
so,
then you have the Jake Butt situation happen.
I know. There's that. Yeah, but most of the guys, and that's pretty rare, and it's unfortunate. I'm not downplaying him getting hurt, the tight end from Michigan in the bowl game where his draft stock took a hit when was a knee injury, I think it was? Achilles? I forget. Yep. Something pretty severe. But most of the guys now, it's like, and I get it, and this is another conversation we talked last time, like the window about transferring or resigning day, maybe they, like, what do you think about this for, this would also help clear up the calendar a bit, not have portal stuff until after bowl games, like have everybody start when the national championship's done. But I guess you can't in your own school, I guess. That's part of it too, I'm thinking, right?
I mean, then you're going to have to move signing day around and all that. Like, there's just so That's much fine. That has to go into it because it's like, all right, and then there's to be like, how, all right, if you're holding back scholarships for portal players, you're not signing that many guys in high school. It's like, there's just so much math that goes into it.
I think just get rid of early signing day and be done with it. That would help a lot. Just have them go to February. Because that way, if you have portal stuff like this, it's think of it this way. It's like free agency and the draft for sports. Okay, if you have the free agency before, then the draft. Or I think NFL does it the other way. They do, or I forget the flip-flop. One NBA does it one way, NFL does it the other. Where you have technically free agency before, which the portal is, and then you have your draft, which is your signing day. You can, and I think the players, and we'll get to all the games, this brought up a thought I had. If you have guys who are moving on, I would like it if it was the first week of January when all the games are done. But if you're going to roll in the spring semester, that's kind of really hard to do. To time-wise, to go visit and make a decision. And now it'll probably, maybe the players still don't play the bowl game, but they're not, they can still get one more game in there if they're going to move on. And then you sign your guys 6 weeks later. But I still think just move signing day back. Or, like I've heard some people say, like once you say you're committed, you're done. That's it. Don't make a big deal about a big deadline, but... Back to the game. What's going to happen here? Can Air Force just get the win because they'll run like crazy with Zach Lear rolling through the offense?
It'll be ball control, and the under will definitely hit because the under's 40.5.
You think the under will hit? Even James Madison puts up some points, man.
Yeah, but Air Force controls the ball.
That's always a concern. I never know. I hate doing over-under with Air Force games. I'm always hesitant about putting that out there, what it might be.
More than 50%, as long as it hits like 55% of the time, you're fine.
So you're telling me this game, like the way it's set up, it's 2 points for JMU. They're saying, what's that, 22-18? 22-20? 21-19? That seems way too low.
I'll say 17-14.
You think 17-14, that's it for Air, for what team? Who's winning?
For Air Force.
How good is James Madison's, if James Madison's defense loses all these guys, I'm going big. I think there'll be points because I think James Madison can score quickly, and so even though Air Force controls the ball, they're going to run all over this team because Eldridge hasn't done much this year, and it's okay if he's not playing. I'm going to go not a ton over, Mike. I'm going to say 31-20 for Air Force. Am I crazy?
Your teen requested a ride, but this time not from you. It's through their Uber teen account. You drive your teenager around a lot to their friend Jacob's house, their other friend Jake's house, to James's, to Jaden's, to Jalen's, to...
Mom, this is Jake's house, not Jacob's.
Now with an Uber teen account, your teen can request a ride under your supervision. They'll ride with a highly rated driver, and with live trip tracking, you'll follow along the whole ride to their friends' houses that all sound the same. Add your teen to your Uber account today. See app for details.
Bye, Mom.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
No, I mean, Air Force is definitely going to win, and they could put up points. I just see them trying to play ball control and trying to keep it away from James Madison because they know they could put up points.
It's true. I just think they're not able to run the ball, or at least perceive with the guys out. But I think they'll win. But I don't know. What, I think they'll be pumped and jacked. They'll be awesome. But there could be some random bowl hero in game one ever he's played, or a guy who's never had any snaps and goes off. But I would not suspect that. All right, next game, also at 1:30 Mountain Time on ESPN. So get your split screen here. If you've got the Apple TV, or if you have the Fubo that's not on a Roku TV, which I hate because my Roku TV doesn't do the quad box. That's why, Josh, I went out and bought an Apple TV to split to change the signal to do that. So even though I get all the channels when I need on my Roku, I can't split it up. So I bought an Apple TV, and so I go through Fubo and Apple TV to watch and split the game. So do that for this game. Georgia State, Utah State. Aggies are a 1.5-point favorite, 59.5 over-under. Josh, tell me why I shouldn't put like all my money on Utah State here.
Let's see. What are they losing?
Everything.
Yeah, 42 career game DB, first team all Sunbelt running back, 15 career start O-lineman, leading receiver. Yeah, just put it all on Utah State.
Even with Levi Williams starting?
Doesn't matter.
He's going to be a Navy SEAL. He wants to go out and have one awesome game and say, look what I can, fellas. Look at this guy.
I mean, all right, you have Georgia State going to Boise State. Mm-hmm. The game time weather is predicted to be 42 degrees.
Dude, that's mild for this time of year. But still, we're not having the Ice Skate Bowl. Remember that one a couple years ago? The Rams. Yeah. Sorry to bring up your team as well for the – they just slid through the end zone and couldn't stop.
And then he got hurt.
I know. I'm trying not to laugh, but the guy – I forget who it was. He slid through the end zone and got knocked over by whatever, the Barry or something.
Something like that.
But this game, like – so I had an email conversation with – Brady Weiler, apologize, I'm not saying it properly. He does a 24/7 for Georgia State. So my first question was, hey, what's the portal like? And he puts in quotes, greatly. It's impacted Georgia State greatly ahead of this bowl game. Like you mentioned, Marcus Carroll out, leading rusher. Robert Lewis out, leading wide receiver. He's on the Auburn. The running back's going to Missouri. Let's see, what else did he say? Like you mentioned, starting right tackle. All these guys are going to big-time schools, Virginia Tech. One of the starting cornerbacks is going to Boston College. The tackle he mentioned, Travis Glover. Leading tackler, starting inside linebacker, sorry if I mentioned his name, Hunter, John Troy Hunter. Like, he's going to the prepping for the NFL draft. And so, I don't know, man. Utah State's not losing that many. Like, I know the Cooper Legault who's sticking around that portaling, which is nice, just because he's probably not going to start next year. Which one's playing? Cooper Legault's injured. McKay Hillstead's available, but not fully healthy. That's what it is. Try to get that right there. So, man, the way Utah State's been playing, like, they can – here's the thing, though. They can play well, or they can play like versus New Mexico and almost lose that game. There's a big pendulum swing of this Aggie scene, what we see all year, right?
Yeah, I could see Utah State taking it easy because Georgia State's lost their last five games.
That's true. They started 6-1 and now 6-6. And I asked him about that. I'm trying to see what he said here. Forget. I think he honestly said, I don't know. He's like, good question. I've been honest and upfront. It's a real mystery. They had no injury losses at the end of the year, is what he's saying here. Like, he honestly said it was just fortunate the injury. They're fortunate to stave off injuries for the whole year. He thinks it could have started like mid-October, the Louisiana game where they won by 3. And then he's just not sure. Like, they got down early and often versus, like, Georgia Southern. They gave up a ton of points in all these games in the season, gave up 40-plus to App State and James Madison. It's like a mystery. I wonder if it's just a schedule thing for playing better teams in the second half of the year. And, again, another Sun Belt team where it's a good conference.
I mean, you have to take the portals into account. I think that's the bigger hit.
Oh, yeah.
But you also have to, like, look at the schedule just a little bit. And that's why it's still weird to me that it is a 1.5-point line. So it's just, like, I think Utah State just has too much talent that hasn't left to, like, I think the overall hit, because it's 59.5, I'm saying, like, 38, 27.
It's also, you remember Levi Williams last, when he's Wyoming last time went to the Potato Bowl, he had a pretty good, pretty big game. He with one, remember that when right after everybody transferred the next day? Yeah. But he, like he, so he has experience there. It's all good. I'm trying to see here any injuries here for Utah State. They have Jalen Rolls is fine. Terrell Vaughn's fine. Utah State, I don't think their portal losses, I'm looking at our portal chart here, I don't think they've had many, or whatever, not chart, but our tracker. Do they have any guys missing this game for moving on, I don't think? Very few, if any.
For Utah State?
Yeah, I'm trying to recall.
They have a kicker and a linebacker.
They're going to win. They're going to run away with this game. They're in a familiar location. Weather is sort of an issue. It's going to be cold, but not like, if it was 30 degrees or 20 degrees and even no precipitation, it would still be a bit of a shock for Georgia State just because they're in the South. They're in Georgia. It could be 40 degrees in Georgia and they'll be fine. This weather's not going to be a concern for either team. It'd just be a little chillier than normal, but not really. I just don't see them having enough play. And that's what makes it hard. We're talking about these games. Like, well, what's going on? It's like, well, when all these guys are out, it's hard to know, right? Like, are we going to say we know what the third string quarterback for Georgia State is? If that guy's their number one guy or their starting linebacker or new offensive tackle coming in or DB?
Yeah, you just never know what's going
to
happen.
And I think you're right, Josh. Leaning toward Utah State losing nobody compared to Georgia State losing key players.
Everyone.
Literally everyone. And so what he says, I'm going to go to at the end. Let me try to find I'm on the wrong page. I read through the article, but I'll make sure. If you haven't read it, go. It's just titled Getting to Georgia State Panthers. So I always put – whenever I do Q&As, I always put – I don't put give me score predictions. That's lame. I'm like, how do you see the game playing out? So they have to actually give a bit more of a response in 27-15 or something. So he put about three-plus paragraphs. So how do you see this game playing out? He says the biggest key to this game is going to be how Georgia State handles their new offensive line meshes. And that's a problem because Utah State has some pretty good defenders up there. He does think the running backs can put a bunch of yards on the ground, assuming if things open up. So it looks like they're probably going to run a lot. But the O-line, again, if they can't get any push and can't stand the field, it's going to be a super long afternoon for them. They don't – obviously, we mentioned their top pass catchers. They do say receiver Talik Williams – very quick, very speedy guy, quick speed or fast, whatever we'll call it. They might get this guy, just I'm going to butcher his name here, dude. Josias Kredelback. He missed most season due to injury, but he's a deep threat guy, so maybe he's one of those guys that comes out of nowhere. And they're just assuming, like, defensively, Levi Williams being the dual threat guy that we know, and also Royals and Terrell Vaughn. So they think their ability is to get after the quarterback, because we know Utah State has been sacked 41 times this year. Not great. And Georgia State's defensive line has been okay. About 30 sacks, I think. So, I think that's a big deal. I think Utah State should win quite easily. But losing your key receivers, losing running backs, losing an offensive line, a lot of the things you've had me read is like, if this happens, if that happens. I think Georgia State will need a lot of things to go well for the way to win. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think enough will go their way.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So I'm going to go, and Utah State can put up points. And they've been, and I'm going to say, I think it'll be kind of close. Utah State, they're 6-6. They're not a great team, for honest. You know what I mean? Like, they're not elite. They have good players. But I'm going to go 38-30 Utah State.
That's about what I said. Yeah, that feels right.
Now let's go to the Hawaii Bowl, where do we talk about deleted Instagram photos?
Speaking of teams that have lost everyone.
Oh, they've lost a lot of things. Lost a Twitter post. They lose Grayson McCall's not playing.
Losing the starting running back, losing freshman of the year, 22 Sunbelt freshman of the year, starting punter.
Oh, who cares? Just punter.
Backup quarterback.
Wait, are they down to QB3? Because Grayson McCall's hurt, right? He's not playing, is he?
Grayson McCall's in the portal.
Yeah, it's good. That's right.
No, he transferred to NC State.
NC State, but he's not played.
I can now see why the line is 10 points for San Jose State.
It was 10 from day one. It's now 9, actually, somehow.
It was 7.5. It opened at
7. Oh, it did? Oh, I didn't see. I always saw the double digits. Holy crap. It's 9 right now. It's 8:30 Mountain Time. Obviously, it's 4:30 Hawaii. Do we give a kudos for deleting their Twitter post, or we say, what are you guys doing and being creepy?
I said in our group chat, I just thought it was a poorly thought out promotional post.
So here's what it is. I do too. So they're in Hawaii, so good weather, awesome weather. You have the mascot, Coach Tim Beck, and what was it, the dance team, I believe it was, cheerleaders?
It was the dance team.
Dance team, it's different cheerleaders. So they're just all bikinis, and the coach is there in the middle, and the mascot. He was not wearing a shirt too, is that correct?
Yep.
So the head coach, Beck, was shirtless. It just looked, I get here in Hawaii, and they deleted the post. It was just, there's nothing weird, like it wasn't, if you look at it, it's like, oh, okay, but just a kind of off and little, kind of creepy a little bit, right? An old dude with all these 20-year-old girls at the beach in bikinis. It just looked like off, right? Like, poor taste, like you said. Nothing outrageous to shake your stick at, but something where it's like, this just doesn't look great. And so they deleted it. So that's another strike against them, right, this weekend in Coastal Carolina. I am surprised, though. I went through a thread, because Reddit CFP put it out there. Like, it was literally 99% saying, this is awesome, this is the best post ever. I'm like, who are you people? Like, it was just...
It's Reddit. Your first issue is, it's Reddit.
Well, but it was on... And Twitter, too. But I'm just saying, like... And then someone put in there, what's the difference between this? Nick Saban with all the cheerleading... Like, not sure, gymnastics team. But they're also in their warm-ups and fully clothed. So it's slightly different, I would say. And they can't drive the beats, do this. Like, just have them post on their own with the mascot, right? I think my issue is having a 50-year-old guy out there hanging out with these on the beach, right? It just looked bad. So that's... Plus, Beck's offense is terrible. I don't like it very much. They have some weirdness going on. This is the most promotion the bowl game outside of the easy post-Twitter kind of a couple years ago when the bowl got canceled. Remember that when they were going all in on, like, after the bowl game, we're going to do this when, what was it? Was it Memphis that backed out last minute? Do you remember?
It might have been.
Because wasn't one of the teams already out there, the Mountain West team?
Yeah, I believe so. Like, yeah.
So, but this game itself, they're losing Grayson McCall. They're losing all these, your key punter. You mentioned your punter, man. Oof, I don't know how they're going to handle that, but. I was thinking the Hawaii quarterback. Sorry, they're in Hawaii. I was thinking of Schrager. My apologies. Shame on Cordero is going to have a field day. And do we need to, Josh, mention your obligatory Kyrie Robinson stat that needs to happen for them to win?
Well, it was over 100 yards, right?
Something like that. Him and George Solani have the same thing, right? Essentially, 100 yards and he should win.
I think I made it up though. I was like, if he gets like 150 combined yards, they win or something like that.
I'll take it, right?
Yeah.
I just don't see, like, San Jose State is legit, I think, the best team in the conference the past month of the season. Had they been in the championship game, they probably would have beaten either UNLV. They beat UNLV. They probably would have beat Boise State, I think, or been a very, very, very competitive game.
Yeah, the way they finished out the season after the rough start they had was, like, if they hadn't lost to Toledo, they would have been in the championship game.
Yeah, because of computer ratings.
Oh, right. They had to beat someone else in that list. That's my fault.
Well, no, they lost to Boise. They were leading Boise big.
Yeah.
No, but they probably still would have been in because it went to computer ratings, and a win would have obviously helped them more in the ratings.
Yeah, the win over Toledo with how good Toledo finished, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was a crappy interception in the game. I remember that. But yeah, they've been scoring. The San Diego State game, they only put up 24, but 30 points in every game after Boise lost the past, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 games? Or 6 games? 5 of those, they put up 30-plus points. They're going to roll in this game. Shavon Cordero is going to have a big game. You're going to have Kyrie Robinson, big game. Coastal losing guys they have. So you said Grayson McCall's out and their backup quarterback is out too?
According to the article we have on the Mountain West Wire website, please go there and look at it.
Yes, the opt-out page we have, which is very helpful.
Jarrett Guest, 2 starts in 2023 following injury to Grayson McCall, is in the portal.
Oh, my gosh. They're also losing their starting running back, Beasley, you mentioned, Jared Brown. Man.
Maybe that's why the over-under is only 49.5.
Dude, Spartans can get it on their own. What are you talking about? I know. Right? Like, there's no way. Like, let me pull up their, like, San Jose State, like, they legit are, I love watching them play. So the depth chart officially puts, who'd you say is out? Jared Guest? Was that who it was?
Yeah.
He's potentially could play. It's him or Ethan Vasco. Because I know some teams that are desperate, like University of Utah, they have their Bryson Barnes is starting because they have nobody else. He's in the portal. And I think some DB is going to play who's in the portal because they have a couple guys like Sony Vaki and Cole Bishop going to the NFL. It's like, please play. Like, guys, please, we need you to play. The hand's banging them. We need you to play one more game even though you're in the portal. And so it could be that situation. Even though he's in the portal, he might play. So is that to consider? And it's, again, like losing all these guys, like losing our top linebacker, losing, like Grayson McCall's like a legit elite, very, 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 could be NFL type quarterback. They're losing their key defensive linemen, if you mention him, sorry, apologies, Braylon and Ryan. Like, San Jose's offense is just one of the best around. They're going to, like, I see what they could do with Coach Brett and everything. I don't know if Coastal has anything to stop them. Like, the Sun Belt's been good, obviously. I don't know what offense they face. I'm checking right now real quick to double check what I have, but I don't know if they face an offense that's in the same neighborhood of passing-wise compared to San Jose State. They played UCLA, okay. Georgia State doesn't do it. Georgia Southern, Marshall, maybe a little bit, but they...
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Today's specials are brought to you by Fancy Feast. From impeccable pâtés to silky broths to chef-inspired creations, a memorable mealtime experience is always on the menu for your cat. Learn more at fancyfeast.com. Together we're as happy as
can be. This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, people have known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors. Pineapple Daiquiri, Strawberry Margarita, Mango Mai Tai, and Passion Fruit Hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
I don't see them lose. I don't see San Jose State losing this game.
Nah, I think it's going to be something like 42-24.
I'm going to see something here real quick. I'm looking up one last little stat nugget here. Let's see. Final weekend, blah, blah, blah. It looks like, let me see. If it is Ethan Vasco, he's a dual threat quarterback, obviously. Could put an issue on the Spartans defense. Trying to see anything else interesting here. They're going, so on ESPN, when it's plus 10, they're taking you over, which is smart, but they also think Coastal will cover. I don't know.
I can't see Coastal covering.
I think it's like a two-touchdown game, right? I'm going to go like, it's gonna be like 40-28 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be close. I think they keep it within two touchdowns, but I don't think they'll really be relatively close. Is that you? What's your score? They're kind of in that same area?
Yeah, I said 42-24.
Okay, we're right in the same neighborhood. All right. Moving on to day after Christmas. So you have the next game. So you have Christmas Day off to do with your family, do what you want to do. UNLV Kansas. How is Kansas like almost a two-touchdown favorite? I don't see it.
It had opened at 11.5.
It's now, what, 13, right?
Yeah.
You don't know, so is Miami, is he not in the portal? Portal, what's the deal with that? Have we heard an update on this?
Who?
Maeva.
I haven't heard anything about that whatsoever.
Yeah, I saw one little report, then he put a little time thing, like, hey, I'm here at with my coach with the watch, whatever, hanging out with Barry Odom. Kansas is 13 points. Oh, it's going to be an exciting game. This could be like the – do you remember the Arkansas-Kansas bowl game last year?
Kind of.
It was back and forth. There's a huge lead, come back, went to overtime. It was a wild game, like, I think 70 combined points. I can see this being the case. It's 7 Mountain Time. It's at Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona. So you got the weird baseball stadium hosting a football game.
Are we going to have the TCU-Cal interception game again?
Why not? What was it? I forget. I'm trying to remember what was that. Is that at
the... We were like 7 interceptions. In
oh,
game.
Okay.
And I think it finished. I think the final score was like 10-3 or like.
Oh, no.
Three,
no. Like that. That's still cheesable, right?
Yeah.
This. Oh, yeah. Okay. I do remember now all the interceptions. Oh, man. No. I don't want. No. If you're. No, just no. So Rebels, this is their first bowl game in like a decade. Kansas has been on the upswing the past couple years with Leipold being the guy. They have technically the only opt-outs are Will Huggins and Reese Thomas, but isn't their quarterback out as well for injury?
He's been injured the entire year.
That's what I mean. He's been out forever. Like he's been out for. That's what I'm trying to think. Like he's been gone for beyond ever, I want to say. Like, he was their preseason play of the year. Oh, come on, man. Kansas has no notes yet? What are you doing here? Give me a break. You guys suck.
Hold on. They also hired Jeff Grimes as their offense coordinator.
Is he calling plays for this game? That's a good thing for Rebels, if that's the case.
I don't know. He was hired 15 days ago. I don't know if he's calling this game.
Yeah, he was at Baylor before, and then BYU previously, as their OC got fired, essentially. Hold on a second. I'm trying to think. If Kansas was a full strength, I could see this being this big of a line. Is this just because it's a Big 12 team? Or is this a situation where people don't know UNLV? Because there's that weird still – you said another article in our group chat, like the New Mexico UNLV game is still being investigated for some reason.
Oh, yeah, because they had – so that article, apparently like a bunch of accounts like were – brand new accounts were created to bet specifically on that game. So the Wall Street Journal had an article on it the other day that I posted where I said to our group chat where it was like, all right, the Mountain West gets, and this fact actually surprised me, the Mountain West gets per game between $7 and $9 million bet per game.
That's a lot, I think, right? That seems like a lot.
But the New Mexico UNLV game had 30 to 40% higher was the amount of money bet on that game, and a number of that money came from newly created accounts.
So that's about $10 million.
I would say it's about 10 to 12. Yeah.
Matt's thought was it's just people finally catching on to UNLV being good and New Mexico being bad. Do you think there's any shenanigans with that? Because I think it's just people realize, oh, New Mexico really sucks. Oh, wait, UNLV is actually good this year. I think that's what it was.
I mean, maybe. Who knows? Because, well, I also know there may be just because wasn't New Mexico, like, doing okay coming into that game?
But there's, like,
they just laid an egg?
They had, like, 4 turnovers in the first half. Like, Coach Gonzalez, like, because he was asked about this, like, we could have played that bad on purpose if we wanted to. Like, they had, I think, what, 4 first-half turnovers? They're down 28-0 at halftime or something like that? I don't know. So with this line, like that's an interesting story. Like I think it's I honestly think it's people seeing good value, or maybe it's a buddy saying, "Hey, see this team? UNLV is really going to get the spread this year." It is unique, but it's also playing New Mexico who just sucks and gets the spread and just wasn't good overall.
So Scott Van Pelt is taking UNLV to cover.
So am I. I might.
Yeah, I will definitely take him to cover, but I still think Kansas wins.
I might take him outright. I might be a homer and be like, Rebels all the way. Let's go. Hey, come on. Be the running Rebs with whoever's running the ball back there. So looking at what Kansas has available or not, they're losing Dominic Puni. Is that a pretty big deal for a game? They're also losing freshman Calvin Clements will start left tackle. So they're losing left tackle. He's going to be an NFL draft pick with Puni being out. So the offensive line's already been kind of not great. And so losing him is not a good thing. And this will be Clement's first career start at left tackle. Not great, right? You just attack him the whole game? Is that your plan?
Yeah, that definitely is something you have to go after.
So, like, Kansas did okay. They weren't as what we thought. They, like, you know, I mean, they weren't really good. What they, for preseason wise, I should say. And it's one of those things where I'm trying to go through what I have here. I don't care about transfer stuff. I don't care about this stuff. Blah blah blah. But they just didn't exceed get to expectations they thought they would. Like, they had legit the best running back and quarterback heading into the preseason for the Big 12, and they ended up with just a so-so record. Like, 8-4, for them, that's pretty good, actually, for being honest, historically speaking. I'm not trying to poo-poo their season, but when your quarterback's considered better than Quinn Ewers for preseason-wise, and then you come out and I know he got hurt, so apologies for I know injuries come in, but I want the Rebs to win. I want a good story, man. Like, they're having – like, they have – is Devin Neal playing this game? Is he decided? I haven't seen it. I've seen everything that he has played.
I mean, one would assume so because he's a – I mean, he's a junior. Unless his thought is, you know,
with NFL.
Texas, Oklahoma leaving next year, they have a shot.
Yeah, I'm just trying to – that's the only guy I can think of because he's legit really good. One of the best running backs in the conference. He has – as of December 5th – okay, this is what, 2 weeks ago. He's still weighing his options as far as this recent article I could find. So him playing.
Did you say Lawrence Arnold's leaving?
The offensive lineman?
No, the wide receiver.
Oh, shoot. I went through a couple of things right off that in front of me anymore. But Neal looks like he is going to play. And that's going to be the difference in the game because I know that with the situation under center, which has been what it has been all year, they got 8 wins, man. Like, there's not nothing in the Big 12, despite the Big 12 being run by Texas this year and some pretty good teams, but also some bad teams in there, too. I just think Rebels got to stop the run, and that'll be a problem. Because look what happened against Boise State in the championship game. Gentee, they did what they wanted against them, and that's a problem. That's why they may not win this game. I'd like for them to win the game.
Well, Kansas is actually really balanced. Like, they have 2,500 rushing yards and 26 and almost 2,700 passing yards.
Okay.
So it's not like you can take away. That's not like you can really focus on one area.
That's true. Bean had a solid start being the starter for however many games he was. He had 1,600 yards. They have a good offensive line, but losing their best offensive line is a problem. Yeah. Very few interceptions. So they could be like it's, but still. But if they watch what Boise did, why not just run more often than not? Right. You have a guy who had 15 touchdowns, 6 yards a carry, 1,200 yards. Why'd you go away from that too much?
That's true. I mean, they are averaging like 15 yards a catch, though.
Yeah, I know, but you're right. But like when they get down to it, we're nitpicking here. What are they going to run more, pass more, or just play their game? They're just going to play their game, obviously.
They're just going to play their game.
Yeah. I would think they'd run a touch more, just a little bit more, because why? Like if they watched what Gentee did. And they're probably assumption, well, our guy's better than Ashton Gentee, even though who might be sixes, who knows, right? They're both pretty, really good. I don't know. Did you see the Arnold thing? Is he playing or not? Did you find that?
I didn't. His Twitter doesn't have anything, so I assume he's going to play.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not like he's their leading receiver, but it's only by like 150 yards. They have five receivers with 24 plus catches. Arnold has 650, Skinner has 500, Mason Fairchild, the tight end, is 422. Mm-hmm. Like, they spread the ball around. It's not like they have one big receiver, so it's not like they can focus in there either.
Yeah, it makes sense. The only reason I think they may run more because they have 31 rushing touchdowns to 18. That's the only reason I think they'll run. Maybe it'll be they'll just run when they get to the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, because if I remember watching, I watched them a couple times, and that's mm-hmm. what they did is they, you know, they drove down the field through the air, you know, mixing in the run, and then when they got down, you know, inside the 15, they ran the ball the majority of the time.
Yeah, so that's why what do we think? Like, we've been getting on Kansas all the time. Like, we've seen what Miami can do. We've seen what Ricky White, what's he going to do against this team, right? Like, what he's going to be out there and tear it up. I think the offense, I think this will be a high-scoring game. Because what was the over-under again? Shoot, I lost a page. Was it 50.5? But I think But what we see with
66.5?
Oof, dang, that's a lot, man. I don't know. Is that going to hit? I want to. That'd be fun, right?
I'll say 42-38, Kansas.
Whoa, that's a lot of points. I am quite confident they will cover this game. I don't see them getting blown out. Because I think the Rebels, aren't they? Like, they're really good against the spread this year, I believe.
Yeah, I think they're at one point they were like 10-0 or something like that.
Because they were, let's see. Yeah, because all the points, man. They in the Boise Championship game, I know they struggled the final two games, but they struggled because turnovers a little bit and then just not stopping the run. I want them to win, but I know every team's not going to win. So I am going to go Kansas winning, but I'm going to go 38-33 Kansas. 38-32 Kansas. It'll be close. It'll be an exciting game. I guess that does hit the over. So,
anything can happen.
What was that?
I said anything can happen.
Anything, yeah. That's I want them to win, right? That's our plan, right? We would like every team to win here.
Yeah, we would, but we know it's also not
going
to happen.
So I'm picking three of the four. Same. So, all right. So here's what we're gonna do here. Wrap it up here. Have a great Christmas, everybody. If you're listening to this while you're traveling, thank you. And hopefully it kills some time and helps you out down the road if you're on a long drive or flight. Apologies, it's late on Friday morning. I had a work commitment late past couple nights. So we'll get to it shortly. Or I guess you're listening now, so it doesn't matter what time I say this is, Josh. I'm just throwing it out there. But have a great Christmas. We'll be back next week at some point to recap these games and go over the final bowl game, which is the Arizona Bowl featured Wyoming Cowboys. It'll be exciting, right? It's on the CW, Josh. Get pumped. All right. Check us out, mwr.com, and we'll be back in a couple days. And just enjoy Christmas, and have a great time, everybody.